Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, which was read a moment ago. In Jesus' name, my dear Christian friends, let's go back to that first Easter. Christ has been raised from the dead. The tomb was very empty as Peter and John and the women could testify. Two of the disciples of or followers of Jesus were on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus begins to walk with them. He comes to be with them. They travel to Emmaus, have a meal together, and Jesus reveals himself to them, and then he disappears from their sight. And these two followers of Jesus, as you can expect, rush to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what had happened. And it is at this point that our text begins. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. As we consider the words of our text, we're going to have demonstrated the truth of this fact. Jesus meets our needs. It was true for the disciples. It is true for us. Jesus provides what is needed. What did the disciples need? We're going to mention six things for them and the same six things for us in this message. First of all, they had doubts. Verse 38 of our text. Why are you troubled, Jesus said, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? People had talked about an empty tomb, and someone even said they had seen the living Lord, but they had not seen him. And if they were to be eyewitnesses, they needed to see him. Jesus meets their need by standing among them, the text says, telling them to see and touch. There was no uncertainty now, for he was with them. For their doubts, Jesus provides his presence. Secondly, they had fears. Verse 37 of our text. They were startled and frightened. First, because they thought they had seen a ghost or a spirit. But it went much deeper than that. They had a fear about the past, what part they may have played in what happened to Jesus. They had fear about the present, the danger they were in with the Roman authorities. And they had fear about the future, what was going to happen now that their master was gone, as they thought. Jesus meets their need by saying to them, peace to you, or peace be with you. His peaceful presence calmed their fears. His peaceful living presence gave them a new perspective on the past, a forgiven perspective. His peaceful living presence gave them confidence about the present. And his peaceful living presence brought them hope for the future. For their doubts and for their fears, Jesus provides his peaceful presence. Furthermore, they had food to share, and Jesus gives them an opportunity to share. They were no doubt meeting in a home where there would have been food available. And Jesus asks, have you anything here to eat? He showed them his humanity by eating in their presence. So Jesus provided a way for them to meet a need, a human need, that is, a need to share. And in the process, they are able to meet his need of sustenance. Furthermore, they had a lack of understanding, or ignorance, if you will. Verse 35 of our text, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." The disciples were confused about what had happened, why it had happened. What did all of this mean? Jesus takes time to explain to them about the prophecies and their fulfillment, about the Christ and what was to happen to himself, and about the future. For their ignorance, Jesus provides understanding. They had sins, not the least of which was their denial of the Lord and their forsaking of the Lord at his time of need. And maybe you could put on several of their transgressions under the category of sins of omission, things they failed to do that they should have or could have done. Jesus meets their need for forgiveness by saying to them, "Repentance and forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations." You know who would be included in that? You know who would benefit from this? First of all, those very disciples who were being called upon to deliver that message to the world, they would be the recipients of that very forgiveness that they were to proclaim. This would strengthen them and help them in their going out and serving the Lord as they realized they have the assurance of forgiveness from their Lord and Master. His forgiveness-earning death was for them as well as for future generations. And finally, they had weakness of spirit as they considered proclaiming that message of repentance and forgiveness. In other words, no doubt they felt inadequate for the task of being a witness of the living Lord. They very well may have felt powerless when you think about the fact that they were few in number, they lacked education, they lacked eloquence, and now Jesus was asking them to do this tremendously significant activity of proclaiming this message of repentance and forgiveness. And what does Jesus do? He provides them not only with a message, but with the promise of power. Verse 49, "But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." It would seem to me, as you think about those six areas that we've mentioned, needs of the disciples and how Jesus provided for them, that you and I have similar needs, and Jesus provides for our needs as well. Let's consider each of them. First of all, we have doubts. At times, I think we would, if we're honest with ourselves, we would say we have at times doubts about our faith. Doubts as to whether words are enough evidence for us to believe, because we haven't laid eyes on the Lord, as the disciples until that moment had not seen him. We have the living Word in our midst. The living Word who comes to us in the written Word, in holy baptism, and in the Lord's Supper this day. He comes to us and by the power of the Holy Spirit assures us that his word is true. And so John writes, "These things are written." These things are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." For our doubts, Jesus provides his presence through his word. We have fears. We have fears about past failures. We have fears about present and future uncertainties in our lives. We have any number of fears in our lives. And to all of this, Jesus says to us, peace be with you. His peace that was earned at great cost on Calvary and at an empty tomb, that peace, which does not overlook the realities of life, but gives us hope and security as we face the storms of life and the realities of life. This peace that Jesus has earned, he brings to us to deal with our fears. We have food and other physical blessings and a need to share. Let me say that again. And a need to share. Why has God given us the blessings that we enjoy? Well, as it is said, we are blessed to be a blessing, and it's really true. As St. Paul says, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. Jesus provides us with opportunities to share from our blessings. The Crisis Center and on, local ministries as well as worldwide opportunities that we have to share. Jesus provides for our need to share. Like the disciples, we have a lack of understanding. Now, there are a lot of things that we don't understand that we won't understand until we're in heaven. But there are many things that God does want us to understand now. And therefore, Jesus provides us with a teacher. John 14, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The primary tool of the Holy Spirit is the Bible. It is, you might say, his classroom. It is the Holy Spirit's method, his textbook of conveying God's message to us. O Holy Spirit, continue to work in our hearts as our Redeemer goes through a 2-year study of the Word. Bless this study. We have sins, like the disciples. Maybe our sin is more often sins of omission, our failure to do certain things, our failure to proclaim to others about our living Lord, our failure to serve and love one another, our failure to worship in heart and life on a daily basis. To all of this, Jesus says what he said from the cross. It was not just for the people at the cross, but for all of us here now before the cross this day. Father, forgive them. He's earned that forgiveness for us. And we are comforted this day with that message. And we have weaknesses. We feel inadequate when it comes to doing the Lord's work, proclaiming his message, sharing with people the message of repentance and forgiveness. Jesus provides us with the same powerful Holy Spirit that he gave to the disciples so that we are able to do with his power what we are unable to do on our own. So like the disciples, you and I have needs, and Jesus provides for all of our needs. He can do that, however, only if we are close to him. Most of us have a garage door opener, and we become accustomed just punching a button and the door opens. But you need to be close enough to the door. The remote needs to be close enough to the door to influence the door, to convince the door it ought to go up or wherever it goes. I guess usually up. You can't punch that and expect any result if you're miles and miles away. Proximity is important. This is where the work of the Holy Spirit is so important for you and me in our spiritual life. I pray this day for myself and for each of you that the Holy Spirit would draw us closer to Jesus so he would have an influence on us, so that he would be able to bring to us an answer to our needs. O Holy Spirit, do your work within our hearts, within our lives, that our Lord Jesus might have an impact on our lives on a day-to-day basis. May our peace-earning, forgiveness-sharing, life-giving Lord meet our needs this week as we strive to serve him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand.